So let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in you we live and move and have our being. Lord, we give thanks for this day. We give thanks for this opportunity to get together to talk about music and how it forms us as Christians. And Lord, we ask that you bless us, keep us and guide us through our time together so that all that we do might be done to your glory. And we pray all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. So I think I know a lot of you. So I'm Lisa Nielsen, and I'm the vicar for pastoral care here at St. Martin's. I've been here about 4.5 years. When we get to September, that'll be 5 years, which is really hard for me to believe. I feel like I just got here. And what else? I love St. Martin's, and I'm glad I'm here, and it doesn't seem like I've been here that long. So our theme for these gatherings for Thursday afternoons this year are Then Sings My Soul, and it gives us an opportunity to share how a favorite hymn or music has shaped us. But I want to expand it just a little to include more than one hymn, because the music of the church is just so important, and it's such an important part of everything we do, of our worship, and there's just no way that I could narrow it down to just one hymn. Music is so important in the church that it's included in the canons of the church. So like the laws of the church talk about music. And I was just going to share this with you in case you didn't know. Canon 5 is on the music of the church. And it says, it shall be the duty of every member of the clergy to see that music is used as an offering for the glory of God and as a help to the people in their worship in accordance with the Book of Common Prayer and as authorized by the rubrics or by the General Convention of the Church. To this end, the member of the clergy shall have final authority in the administration of matters pertaining to music. In fulfilling this responsibility, the member of the clergy shall seek assistance from persons skilled in music, and together they shall see that music is appropriate to the context in which it's used. So it's so important that they talk about it in the canons of the church, that we're supposed to have music, and that even though the clergy are responsible for making sure that we have music, we're supposed to ask the professionals, the musicians, for help in getting that done. So I just think it's interesting because we don't put things in there that are just add-ons or something that's nice to have. So let's go. So let's start by thinking about Christian formation. So what do y'all think of when we talk about Christian formation? We talk about like Sunday school, classes. Do y'all think about music when we say Christian formation? Not usually, but really everything we do, how we build our buildings, what we have on the walls, the furniture we have, the music, are all part of our Christian formation. It's not just the Sunday school classes. Don't want to leave anything out. Okay, so when someone walks into the church, they can see everything they can see and hear. They learn what's important to us. We learn when we're children or we're visitors or we're newcomers in the church. Everything that we find in the church helps form us and let us know what it is that we believe here and what's important. If the church is clean and well-maintained, that means we think it's an important sacred space. In our church, the altar and the pulpit are both prominent features. So the liturgy of the word and the sacrament of the Eucharist are both important in our worship. We glorify God through sacred artwork, through stained glass windows, paintings, sculptures, and the font. The font is prominent. And so that says to someone coming in that the sacrament of baptism is important in our faith. And so what I have up here is I have just some photos of different churches that have been important in my Christian formation over the years. And these are the years leading before I was ordained. So when we start on the left, that is the church where I was formed from the time I was a toddler until going into junior high. And I thought it was interesting as I look back through photos, the kind of white one is the bulletin from when the dedication of the church took place. And my parents were kind of planters of that church. It was a small mission church. And when we built that building, I remember walking around when it was just the studs and it was just framed up and we would, you know, walk around through it. And then the picture kind of overlapped on that of the two people with the priest. Those are my grandparents. And what's up there on the wall is the songboard. And so those are the hymns that we would sing that Sunday. So I looked up the hymns and it was Easter. So when they had that in, I had to get out my 1940 hymnal and look it up. But my grandfather made the hymn number boards for the church because they didn't have any, and his sister passed away. And so my great aunt, and so he made those wooden hymn number holders. And I've got one of those is in my office, and I use it to put pictures of my grandchildren in. But for years, it was in that church. The reason I have them is because that church actually closed down. They had to close it about 3 or 4 years ago because it just was dwindling. It was one of those that the congregation just kept getting smaller and smaller. The next one over is the church from my junior high and high school years. You can see in the back, big pipe organ. First one was St. Martha's, Westminster, Colorado, and then we got St. Luke's, Fort Collins, Colorado. The next one over is the parish St. Martin in the Fields in Fort Worth, where we raised our children, and that was a gospel procession. The kids swinging the thurible and looking really serious is my son. Then, of course, we always had a gospel procession to music and on holidays with incense and all that at that church. And then the next one over is the National Cathedral, where I served as a seminarian. And that was my view from when the first time I preached at the National Cathedral was at an evensong. And that's the view I had. And then the next one over is of the pipe organ at the chapel at the seminary at VTS, which was always a really important place for me. Okay, and so now we want to go on to like music as Christian formation. We have different types of music, and depending on the congregation and the context, it might be very different based on the culture of the congregation. First, I'm going to go over the main three sort of books we have. The hymnal 1982, that's what probably most of you are familiar with. That's what we use most here for our music in the traditional services at St. Martin's. Next, we have a book called Wonder, Love, and Praise. And it was, I'm going to look at when it was published. It was published in 1997, and it's a supplement to the hymnal 1982, and it's got sort of some more contemporary and praise music kind of songs in it. And then we have the Lift Every Voice and Sing 2, and also called Levas, L-E-V-A-S, and that has African-American hymns in it, and there is a little bit of crossover in between a couple of those and the hymnal 1982. So the Wonder, Love, and Praise, the reason that supplement is called that is based on the Charles Wesley hymn that is called Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. And the last words of that, it ends with till we cast our crowns before the lost in wonder, love, and praise. So, and we sing that sometimes here. All right, so like I said, I couldn't choose just one hymn, and I didn't think you wanted to go through all 50 of the hymns that have formed me. So I had to narrow it down, and so I chose one that I just wanted us to listen to because it's a little bit harder to sing, and especially with a smaller group. And then three of them, we're going to have a little sing-along. So I was happy to see choir people here. And David and Keith are here to help. So that, because I don't have the spiritual gifts of music or of singing. So they do. So they're going to help with that. But when you hear the music or when we sing along with it, as you're singing or as you're listening, think about what each hymn teaches about our beliefs, how it works as Christian formation. If you're a visitor here and we sing one of these hymns, you know, what do you learn about our beliefs or about our church? And so if you go visit some other church, I mean, listen to the music there, and it can tell you, you know, what we believe, what's important to us. I had to leave one out. I just love For All the Saints. We usually sing that on All Saints Day. But it's got like seven or eight verses, and it's got lots of alleluias in it. And so, you know, it's Lent, so I'll leave that one out. So this, the one I want to listen to with you all, and we won't listen to the whole thing because it's a super long hymn. It's called St. Patrick's Breastplate. In our hymnal, it's hymn 370. And it's interesting because it has like three different melodies in it, which is why it's hard to sing. But the beginning sections of the prayer start with, I bind unto myself this day. It's a really popular hymn for a procession hymn at ordinations. And it tells the things that I bind unto myself, things like the strong name of the Trinity, the power of faith, Christ's incarnation. And then it is followed by the invocation of Christ to be present. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me. And that's the prayer that I have up there that's known as the prayer of St. Patrick's Breastplate. So I'm going to see if I'm techie enough to play this for you. Okay, that's a couple of the verses. I'm going to fast forward us over to where it completely changes to a different tune. I'm going to try to get us there. This is all part of the same hymn, so. Thank you. And so then you go back into the okay, so you kind of get that. So that's one of my favorites. But like I said, it's hard to sing unless a congregation is like familiar with it. And so that's at ordinations, you have like a whole bunch of priests in there usually who all know the song. So then it's okay. So. I just got to try to get my. I can just, like I said, if I'm techie enough, my mouse is not working. It came across. Nope. There we go. All right. Now we get to have a sing along. Tom, can you help me?
Probably could just give us that table.
I've got a copy, but just you make sure Keith and David are looking at the same thing I'm looking at. Go Down Moses is in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I've seen that movie 100 times.
But did they say it was
him? Oh, that's right. He does. Oh. So it's, well, it is, because I love Ferris Bueller. So, which, by the way, is a classic movie. So, okay, so we'll, so Go Down Moses. Interesting thing about it, it's in the hymnal, it's hymn number 648. It is also in the Lift Every Voice and Sing hymnal as hymn 228. And it's just got a lot, sort of some more flourishes and stuff in the music in that version. It's an African-American spiritual, tells a story of Moses from the Old Testament. It also ends with, "Let us all in Christ be free." So, so it's interesting. So think about if we sing this in church, what people will learn. So I'm going to turn it over to Dave and Keith. Do we want to sing all 4 verses or maybe just like 1, 2, and 4? Okay, we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. Yeah, Keith will give the sign.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. And so then the next one that we have that we're going to sing is Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. It talks about how we rely on God's help in all that we do. We couldn't have come as far as we have without relying on God's help. Near the end, in the third verse, it acknowledges, and that I always like this part, we're prone to wander and prone to leave the God we love. So we love God. That doesn't mean we're not tempted or we don't wander, because all humans are fallible, right? So we give our heart to God, and then so we know that God saves us even when we wander. We're still beloved children of God. Interesting, the words of this hymn were written in the 1700s, and they're still fitting for today. So we'll hand it off to Keith and David. Right, and then the last one, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky, also called Here I Am, Lord. It's from the Wonder, Love, and Praise hymnal, and it covers creation and discipleship and the sending of God's people. It's also a favorite at ordination services. But the refrain's what I like best. It makes us think of Samuel, when he heard the Lord calling to him in the night and he responded faithfully. And, he says, I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you will lead me. So I'll do whatever you want me to do if you lead me. David and Keith, take it away.
I will make the darkness bright.
Thank you, Keith and David. Thank you very much for leading us in that. That was wonderful. All right. So just a couple quotes. St. Augustine, I think this might have been on some of the ads, said that a Christian who sings prays twice. So, and I also had a preaching professor who taught us that really the music is the most important part of any worship service, especially that closing hymn that kind of sticks with people as they go home, because no one ever goes home with. So that's it. That's all I've got today. Do we have any questions and questions? I might have answers, but any questions? Dana?
Yeah, music is part of the
mm-hmm.
What about baseball?
Well, we do provide for music, just not at every service. So, you know, if we didn't provide any music, then that would be not good. Yeah, but it's okay to provide, and like Wednesdays. And sometimes, you know, good use of our resources. You know, we don't have the resources to have music at three services on Wednesdays. But so it's okay to have some services without music, but as long as we do provide, you know, for music. Anything else? Tom. Well, that I could let David talk about that, but it's a combo of things. Probably the two most important things are the scripture for the day, the lectionary, and the season. And there's in our hymnal, there's a planning version of the hymnal that has suggested hymns that go with, that are complementary to the lessons and to the season. And then also another consideration is the sermon. If there's things in the sermon that we want to highlight with the music, or the music that's complementary to the sermon, then that's usually, and of course, David, you know, is our director of music and the expert, and so the rector has charged him with, you know, planning the music. And so he and Keith, you know, they talk about it. Did I cover everything, David, or do you have something you want to add to that? A bowl. Okay, a big bowl with hymns in it. We just, you know, no. But did I cover it
yes.
pretty well? Okay, all right. Does that help? Okay. Anything else? Thank you all for being here this afternoon. Mm-hmm.